Today, I love my husband. I looked over while he was whipping together snacks for our daughter and her hardworking DI team, and I was overwhelmed with feelings of warmth and happiness. He looked as handsome making quesadillas as he looked when we were college co-eds over 30 years ago. He can still take my breath away with an unexpected kiss, a wink across the room, or with a note left on the bathroom sink. I'm happily surprised that I'm still inspired by romantic love for the same man on more occasions than not. Probably 80% of the time, I feel like my husband is my soulmate. Okay, maybe more like 70 to 75% of the time, if I'm really going to be honest. But that's not what concerns me. I actually think that we spend a good portion of our life in the plus column. When it's good, it's really good. But what's plagued me over the years is how dark things feel in this same magic marriage 25% of the time. Those moments when I look over at the man I've pledged my life to and wonder what I ever saw in him, as I'm sure he often wonders about me. What causes us to go from intensely in love to intensely disappointed in the same person? And what really causes couples to move from happily ever after to divorce court? I'm marriage and family therapist Elizabeth Barrett, local practitioner, educator, wife, mother, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, my monthly musings about the current state of our collective mental health and a look at how we are aiding or getting in the way of our own well-being. I spend a lot of time thinking about relationships. I guess part of it is just the nature of my profession, working with couples and families, and the time I spend lecturing about family psychology to Cal Poly undergrads. I acknowledge that the energy I spend dissecting my relationship and others' relationships is probably skewed a bit higher than the average person. So you would think that with all of this focus on the quality of my intimate connections, that I'd enjoy a perfect union. But it just isn't so. I struggle. My husband and I struggle, although he would probably say that I do most of the struggling for both of us, as he would rate himself as content the vast majority of the time. So although my education and 50 years of life experience have provided me with a sense of pride and confidence in the quality of my relationship with my husband, there are times that I still find myself wandering through the dark hours of discontent, wondering if there really is a different, perfect life, a perfect mate, and a perfect connection just waiting around the corner. Maybe it's a girl thing. Maybe we are, as Prince once sang, never satisfied. When I feel the rumblings of discontent bubbling up, and if I'm not careful, I can get caught up in the story of despair that whispers to me that things could be better with someone else, somewhere else. Throw in the challenges of raising children, work stress, and very little free time, and you have a perfect recipe for marital discord. It frightens me how quickly a perfectly lovely, functioning, supportive relationship can be thrown off balance. And I know I'm not the only one who struggles. So how do we manage to keep it all together when the pull to the dark side can be so seductive? And why are the tools for marital success so elusive? A wise man once said that 90% of our misery and 90% of our happiness will be determined by the quality of our relationships. A scary thought. But we receive very little, if any, training and guidance regarding what it takes to make and maintain successful relationships. I'm amazed that premarital counseling isn't a mandatory part of the application for a marriage license. When you think about the devastation that divorce wreaks on children, the community, and the divorcing couple, it seems criminal to not provide newly marrieds with all of the tools and information we have to help them to maintain and nurture the most important aspect of their life. We wouldn't think of allowing a new employee to start work without the proper training, or sending a soldier into the battlefield before boot camp. So why do we send couples into marriage without some sort of guidance? No, instead of educating couples, we just throw up our collective hands each time a marriage ends. We shrug it off and toss it away as just another of the 50% casualty rate. We all nod and concur that marriage just isn't the same today. Maybe it isn't relevant. We seem to shy away from anything that feels challenging or stressful. We don't like to feel badly, and we don't expect that our most intimate relationships could ever be so hard. But hard work is the foundation of all things in our life that are worthwhile. And stress goes along with hard work and effort. Stress is a normal part of life. Studies actually show that too little stress can be just as damaging to a relationship as too much stress. Stress in any form has a huge impact on the strength of the relationship. When there is no stress, couples can get bored, lose the spark of the relationship that keeps the fire, interest, and passion burning. Couples without stress have nothing to work on, and soon they grow indifferent to each other. Conversely, couples with too much ongoing or chronic stress become burdened, exhausted, and eventually break down from the weight of the tension. That's why couples tend to crumble at similar times. While raising children, buying or building a new house, losing or changing jobs, dealing with the chronic illness of a spouse, relative, or child, and during financial crisis. Facing just one of these issues can put a strain on a marriage. Pile on multiple stressors over a short period of time, and you have a recipe for disaster. Marriages fall apart during times of stress pileup. Not because the relationship is bad or that it's a mismatch, but because the partners are ill-equipped with dealing with unyielding stress. More often than not, people in crisis tend to turn on each other rather than pulling together, which begins a negative spiral of interacting that can destroy a marriage. Learning how to manage stress is actually one of the key components of premarital and couples counseling, along with learning problem-solving and communication skills. Believe it or not, these are not innate talents that we're born with. We actually need to be trained in the art of intimate communication and problem solving. Understanding how our partner responds to stress, communicates feelings of disappointment, and receives love are critical to maintaining a healthy marriage. Unfortunately, too many couples never learn these basic relationship skills, or they wait too long to get into counseling, or worse, they choose a counselor who is ill-equipped to navigate the stormy waters of a struggling marriage. And then, divorce becomes the seemingly only option. Research regarding the reasons couples cite for getting divorced reveals that infidelity, financial issues, sexual problems, incompatibility, and forms of abuse are the most common. But it's rarely just one thing that is to blame, but a breakdown in many areas that ultimately brings a marriage to an end. And sadly, at the heart of most of these issues is the lack of communication skills and maturity necessary to work through the problem at hand. As a result, many couples end up getting divorced for soft reasons, those that could be resolved with some effort. Unlike physical, sexual, or substance abuse and gambling addiction, which are a few of the solid reasons for divorce, soft reasons for divorce are a symptom of cultural complacency and laziness. Boredom is a common soft reason for divorce, although couples often don't recognize the feelings of boredom and confuse them with a lack of love or desire. This often leads to infidelity, which then often leads to divorce. But if the boredom had been addressed through communication early on, this marriage could have been saved. The same goes for stress. When individuals feel unduly stressed, they begin to look for ways to alleviate the discomfort, and as a result, often confuse their partner with the actual source of stress, which is quite often financial, which can lead to arguments, which can then be viewed as a symptom of incompatibility, which can then lead to divorce. When communication and problem-solving skills applied to address the feelings of stress might have prevented the entire negative spiral. Because that's what happens in marriages. Something triggers a negative feeling about the relationship. And without stopping to explore the cause, this can begin a downward spiral in communication, with each person responding to the other with their own negative response. Negative begets negative, until it is very difficult to remember the good feelings that you have for each other. This is when things can feel very dark in a marriage. And it can be really challenging to change from a negative spiral to a positive, because it requires one person being mature enough, strong enough, insightful enough to change directions, to come to their partner with love instead of negativity. It's amazing how one kind word or act can change the spin of a relationship. But we often get so caught in our own negative spiral, inside our own heads, that it's hard to see beyond our own feelings. But that's how resilient and healthy couples maintain marital health. They don't wallow in the negative. They remind themselves every day that it's a choice to relate to their spouse with love. No one can make us feel anything. We choose how we react to situations, and so we can choose every day whether we want our relationships to be positive, supportive unions or enemy territory. Clients are often disappointed that there isn't something more complex, more magical, more beyond their ability to maintaining a viable relationship. The idea that they must choose every day how to approach their spouse, that they have the control to live life in a positive or negative spin, often puts too much personal responsibility on an individual, and they refuse to accept that there isn't a force far darker in their marriage causing the problems, that they are causing the problems, and they have the power to either support or destroy their marriage. Dr. John Gottman, a respected relationship expert, has spent years studying couples and marriage and has been able to predict with 98% accuracy whether a couple will divorce based on a variety of different interpersonal habits. At the core of his research are four ways that couples interact that sabotage communication and put the union in jeopardy. He refers to these as the four horsemen, as a reference to the apocalypse that will follow these negative styles of communication. The first is criticism. Now, we all have complaints about a relationship, but when these complaints become personal, attacking your spouse, criticizing and blaming them for problems, this marks the first level of destruction. To heal this habit, it's important to turn the criticism into a complaint, something tangible that you can work on together, to attack the problem and not the person. The second horseman is contempt. Speaking with negativity, hate, and venom, name-calling, belittling, disrespect, these are all examples of contempt. Treating your spouse as an enemy will create an impenetrable wall. So the opposite of contempt is to speak with positivity, to look for what is good about your spouse, to remember the reasons you chose this partner and choose to see the good and not focus on the negative. The third horseman is defensiveness, denying that you have anything to do with the problem, attacking back, turning the blame around, and refusing to take any personal responsibility for the problems in the relationship. The simple fix for defensiveness is to take responsibility. Own the ways that you add to the stresses or problems in your relationship. And then the fourth horseman of the marriage apocalypse is stonewalling, failing to respond or to speak to your partner when they're trying to address an issue with you, tuning out your spouse when they're trying to communicate. Stonewalling creates distance emotionally and destroys connection and trust. If you need to take a breather in an argument to gather your thoughts or reduce anxiety and tension, instead of shutting down or ignoring your spouse, explain that you're feeling overwhelmed and ask for a timeout. Communicate your desires instead of just shutting down. I can't promise that changing these four habits will heal your marriage, but it can't hurt, and it's a great start. And if you're unhappy with your marriage, change your life, not your spouse. Team up to tackle the problems together. You might find great joy in creating a new life with the partner you already have. And this has been another conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Please join me again next month at the same time, the first Wednesday at 4:15. Until then, you can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org under the Program Archives tab. I always welcome your feedback to elizabeth@theparentway.com. Thank you for listening and supporting Public Radio KCBX.